This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and welcome to the Draft Prospect Review Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's March 26th right here at Gillette Stadium, and Eric is smiling at me over there. Welcome back.
What else am I going to do?
Yeah, you know. We have Paul Perlow, Eric Scalvino, Tom Gazzale, and Andy Hart covering the tight ends. Take it away, Andy.
Thank you, Lori. Tight end should be a position we should keep an eye on. Why? Because it feels like the Patriots always draft one, right, Paul?
Well, they do.
Yes. Rarely do they ever stick around and
amount
to much.
Sometimes two in the same draft. They've done that twice.
Seriously, with the, you know, Kyle Brady moving on, or being asked to move on, I guess would be a better case. Benjamin Watson kind of, I guess, is what he is at this point in his career. David Thomas now injury prone. It would make sense that maybe not early, but at some point in this draft, you'd think they're going to look to bring on a tight end that will actually fight for a roster spot and have a chance to make this team and contribute.
I mean, I would agree with your assessment overall, Andy. I mean, I think that they often go for tight ends, and I think you're looking at the two that they have. I think there's some talent there with Watson and Thomas, but certainly bigger question marks than anything else with the health status for both of them. So I think it makes a lot of sense here. The question is, I don't know how you guys feel, but where do you think they might take a stab at one? Third, fourth, that too early, or are you talking later than that?
Well, the thing, I think they need a blocking tight end. That's what they're looking at first, I would say, because, you know, Watson, I think, is okay, but is not going to make his mark as a Kyle Brady-like third tackle as a blocker. Dave Thomas, if healthy, is certainly not that in any way. So I think you're looking at more of a blocking tight end type, and that's not the kind of guy that brings a lot of value. It's actually probably more a diamond in the rough kind of guy that they just seek out as, we've seen this guy block in college, and he's a guy we think can do that, you know, do that job for us.
And I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of those drafts, Paul, where they take a couple of tight ends, because there's enough of them out there that are decent enough. It's a pretty deep crop, I think, this year.
Plus, as a late-round pick, those are good guys just to bring to camp, run around, be on the roster, maybe the practice squad later. You know, they're athletes. They're like linebackers. You can always use them in the preseason.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe in terms of the blocking aspect that you brought up, Andy, maybe they go out and sign one of those guys that's out there. I mean, I don't know exactly who's on the market right now. There's guys that become available. We all know this. And I'm not talking about street free. You know,
your boy. Marcellus Rivers.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Steven Spock. I'm talking about a Jed Weaver or someone like that who, has a reputation, an NFL veteran who has a reputation, been around a little bit. You can pick one of those guys up in addition to drafting. Because, you know, from the guys that we watch in this class, I think we all – were somewhat impressed with the group overall. Mm-hmm. There's some talent here at tight end, I think. But I didn't really see a lot of guys that fit the mold that you're describing right now.
Well, it's hard to find those guys, and they don't get a lot of publicity. They, as I said, right. I think they're more diamonds in the rough. There's someone that an area scout targets. You know, he might even be out of school watching someone else, and a blocking tight end type catches his eye. But you're right, let's delve into it. Our friends over at NFLDraftScout.com list about 17 guys potentially at tight end being drafted. And they actually have Texas A&M's Martellus Bennett, number one overall. They project him as a second-round pick. They don't project any first-round tight ends. I like Fred Davis after watching, you know, the film on him. He's a guy, 6'3", 250, decent athlete. I wouldn't say a game-breaker type athlete. Soft hands. I think he is far and away the best tight end in the draft.
I agree with you on that. I liked Bennett as well, and he was one of the few guys on the film that we watched that actually did have a couple of plays where they ISO'd him as a blocker. Mm-hmm. One as a lead blocker down in the goal line, which I thought was somewhat interesting. But I agree with you, Andy, overall. On the top end, probably non-Patriots. The top end.
Oh, God, no.
Fred Davis, USC, I thought was the best.
How'd
you guys feel?
Although I like Davis, too, although I'll tell you what, there's a guy that I know Tom loves who, if it weren't for his injury history, would probably be a first-round tight end, and that's Brad Cottom of Tennessee, who's a monster. He's like 6'8", 270, and he's one of those guys who can be a blocking tight end in the mold of a Kyle Brady because of his size, but he also has pretty good hands and he's athletic.
Yeah, he's very athletic.
He's someone I see. The Steelers took Matt Spaeth from Minnesota last year. He became their second tight end, and he was very valuable near the goal line. You know, didn't catch a ton of passes, but the passes he caught were important. blocking type guy.
Yeah.
So I think if you're the Patriots and you bring a guy in like Cottom, he can become that second tight end for you where he doesn't have to catch 30, 40 passes, but catches a few that are important and then opens the way up for Maroney and helps Brady and Matt Light on the edge there.
I really agree with your comparison of Spaeth on that one, Tom, because he's a guy we both really liked last year.
Yeah.
At the same time, watching these kind of just a really big target. We kind of envisioned him as maybe a guy probably won't catch that many passes, but might be a valuable red zone guy with his size. And then you watch Cottom, the kid from Tennessee, and you look at him, he's so big, you think, well, he can't possibly, he's like 6'8", you can't possibly move. Then you see a ton of big plays on film. He really runs well for that size. Thought he was deceptively athletic.
Didn't exactly have the best quarterback either.
Yeah, and unfortunately we didn't get to see him block too much. And that would be the question. Can he do those things? I think Spaeth had a pretty good reputation for being a blocker. That's the perfect second tight end if he can do that.
The one thing Spaeth said last year at the Combine is people were concerned because he's so tall, if he could get down and block. And he said, at Minnesota, all we do is run the football.
Right,
so
right.
I'm used to blocking. So he wasn't concerned about it. And I know Pittsburgh put him in the goal line a lot, so I'm sure they used him in the blocking capacity. So I don't think it'd be a big problem.
No, and let's be honest. If you're 6'8", 270,
you should be able to block.
If you have any desire to do it, if you are willing to dedicate yourself, you can block. Let's be honest. I mean, if you get in a system and decide, yes, I want to block, you can block. Because they're not asking you to, block Julius Peppers for 6 seconds. They're asking you to basically run block, get in the way for 2 seconds so Lawrence Maroney can cut off your butt.
There's another physical specimen there who's 6'6", I think, 260, and that's Kellen Davis from Michigan State. Who's very athletic, very versatile. I mean, he looks like a monster, but he's quick and he makes a lot of great catches. And he's another one who has some potential, but there were questions about, I think, his work ethic a little bit.
That's the thing. And if he comes ready to play, he could be the best tight end drafted out of this class. But like you said, there's too many ifs about him right now. But physically, athletically, he could end up being the top tight end. It's all up to him. And
I didn't like his vibe.
Where do you want to – at the Combine you didn't?
I thought he was a little punk-ish.
Well, that's his reputation. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Lose the reputation. When you're in the Pro Bowl, pick the reputation back up again, but lose it for a couple
years. But as far as physically goes, he has all the tools, so if you can get him at a nice price somewhere, you might want to take a chance on him and see if he can turn him around a little.
Yeah, I agree. And watching his tape, I did know some of the stuff that you guys are talking about him. Michigan State, they're on TV all the time. You get a chance to see Big Ten games a lot. But watching him play, he is the best, maybe the best athlete, pure athleticism of all these guys. How many passes did he catch away from his body where he just grabs the ball and he's so strong and athletic, he just keeps it away from people? Jump balls that he's catching over people, you can't teach that.
Right.
That's just an athletic move. He has that. Now, if he doesn't have the other stuff to go with it, that's probably why he's slated to be a second-day pick while all these other guys are on the fringe of the second round. So there's a big difference there, and I think that you probably would say that's not a guy that the Patriots would generally gravitate toward, but who knows?
Right, and another guy who slipped a little bit, I think, at the Combine was John Carlson out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I think his reputation was a little higher leading into the offseason process.
At the big down arrow I saw on NFL Draft Scout.
Yeah. And Dustin Keller moved up from Purdue, had a great Combine.
I didn't like him.
He's that traditional. He's like, him and Martin Rucker are kind of in the same boat where you're not going to use them to block a lot. They're going to be, I know people say Shannon Sharp, but Shannon Sharp was a pretty good blocker for his size.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these guys are more traditional receiving tight end, so they have to go to the right system.
I actually hated Rucker. I didn't think he had soft hands. I know they used him as a receiver a lot, but to me, he didn't look like a natural receiver.
I thought he caught it a little funny.
Double caught it. We used to talk about Daniel Graham in practice and, sort of the difference between when a receiver catches the ball and you don't really hear it and when a guy who doesn't have great hands catches the ball and it slaps against his palms. I thought Rucker was the type of guy where the ball ends up slapping against his palms and he double catches it. So, I didn't love him, but there's definitely sort of a log jam of tight ends there. Depending on which team, which system, where I think a lot of these guys are going to get drafted, and it'll depend where they end up.
I'm going to give you a name.
Okay, give me a name. Give it to me.
Joe John Finley. He can't play worth a darn.
Oh, good.
But the name, anyone who has a name, Joe John, you can come here because you'll have a lot of fun with that, Andy, in your headlines and your little quirky sayings that
it's
you
real,
have.
And real
no relation to JerMichael Finley, right?
Right. Real
Joe Hidjamin.
Real I mean, he could catch the ball, but it, I mean, it took him forever to get there, I thought. I didn't have a time for him.
I just think there should be more people named Joe John.
But he looks slow to me. Yeah,
4.89 according to NFL Draft Scouts.
There you go. He looks slow. Watching him play, he
played pushing
slow.
Tackle there.
I mean, 4.89 would have him out of all the guys I have a 40 time 40. That's the worst time I have right here.
Right. So
one other note about Carlson. I think one of the reasons why he might have slipped during the combine, at the end of the season and right before the Senior Bowl, he came down with some sort of mysterious virus that they really didn't know how he got it or how long it was going to take before he got rid of it. But he ended up losing about 15 to 20 pounds. Didn't really work out in the Senior Bowl and had a very, you know, he had to work really hard to get back to his playing weight when he got to the combine. So he might have still had some lingering effects from that, and that might have hindered his performance.
And God knows
bit.
He didn't play with a good quarterback last
right.
year. Well, so
that's,
give him a pass
true.
On that.
Yeah,
but he has the Charlie Weiss system.
And he does have
comparisons.
Excellent hands.
He does.
You know, and the Patriots have been willing in the past to take a flyer on a guy whose value dropped for some reason and maybe go by the earlier part
if
of their career.
If he was around in round three when they have two picks, I could definitely see them
and that's when,
a look at him.
Yeah, that's what Draft Scout, NFL Draft Scout predicts for him. I mean, look, you could do worse than John Carlson in the third round, that's for sure.
And Tom, you threw out a name. I'm going to throw out a name, too, that's not on our list, and we haven't seen any film of him, but he was at the Combine. He's a guy originally from Hawaii. His name is Kolo Kapanui, and he went to USC as a freshman, didn't really get much playing time. He got hurt. He got a little, you know, disgruntled with the program, decided to go to a Division II school. But he's a guy who's about pretty big, about 6'3", 6'4", 260. He was at the Combine.
5'06", 40.
And I think he got invited there because of his USC credentials. And, you know, he's a guy who had some confidence that, you know, hey, I was at USC. I might have the ability to play at this next level. And he got the invite to the Combine. So he might be a name that just later rounds, obviously, not anything up high. But, you know, even
or
maybe
priority
as a
free agent.
Priority free agent.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're also going to sneak in here. We wanted to have a day where we could bury the specialists. And Eric's our resident kicking expert.
So you guys going to have to take over because I
punters
stopped.
And kickers, Eric.
You know what? They were on the same film as the tight ends, but I did not
watch. Oh, you
watch
pressed
them.
Stop? Good.
I tell you what, I did the same thing, Paul. I didn't even bother watching the film of the kickers, but we did see them at the combine.
Give you a quick rundown here. The Katu from Georgia is pretty good.
Yes.
He's the one that hit
Brandon
the...
Brandon Katu. Yeah.
Yep.
And Melhoff, is that how you say it, from Wisconsin?
Melhoff?
That guy's
got
a heck of a leg.
Yep.
I mean, all they got to do is get over the 50. Just an Alex Serna's weird because
I wouldn't take him if I didn't have anybody else who's ever kicked in my life.
He's also smaller than I am.
He missed those as a freshman against LSU. He missed those extra points that cost him the game. Then he went on to have this great 2.5-year career. Unbelievable. Never missed a kick. Mm-hmm. And then last year he fell off the face of the earth again, couldn't make a kick.
Never
so
made one of any semi-importance
ever
in his time at Oregon State. I wouldn't take him if I had nobody else on my roster with any kicking experience. I still wouldn't take that guy.
You take Eric ahead of him?
I still have a chance then?
Even if I had no one else with kicking experience.
Yeah, I guess. NFL Draft Scout has basically five kickers who could be drafted. They rank Melhoff, number one, as a sixth-round pick, potentially. Then they got four guys, Art Carmody, Alexis Serna, Shane Longest, which, I mean, that's great for a kicker.
Oh.
Longest.
And he was the first ever player from St. Xavier in Chicago
that's
to
true.
Be invited to the Combine.
Yes, you were very much in love with that note at the Combine. I think you wrote it seven times. And Brandon Kutu from Georgia was the last guy they think could get drafted. In terms of punters, they have four guys. One guy, fourth or fifth-round pick, which is pretty high for a punter. Durant Brooks out of Georgia Tech. Then a sixth-rounder, potentially.
Certainly he's done a lot of punting over the last couple of years.
North Dakota State, Mike Dragosevich. And then a couple seventh-rounder free agent guys, Toledo's Brett Kern and Andrew Larson out of Cal. But we've talked, Tom, I think there's a chance they could take a punter or bring in a free agent punter, which is probably the more likely
route. I like
route.
Kern from Toledo.
Why?
He showed me good extension on his kicks.
I tell you what, that Dragosevich kid from North Dakota was probably the tallest one of the bunch when he was there. He looked more like a quarterback than a punter. He might be a guy who has some athletic ability.
I could definitely
see
him taking a punter
in the
final round.
You know, he might be one. Keep an eye on
I didn't like Dragosevich. I thought he had a slow drop. Decent leg, but he had a slow drop and a slow delivery. I really wrote that down in my notes while watching him kick.
I
break down the film, Paul, like you wouldn't believe. Lori, what do you know about kicking? You're a former cheerleader.
All I know is Eric.
Oh, good. Well, so he doesn't know anything about kicking because he made up his whole kicking career.
No, I did not.
No, he didn't.
Anyway, that's going to put the wraps on it. We got our kickers. We got our punters. But more importantly, tight ends. The Patriots will pick one. And Tom said it.
John Carlson.
John Carlson, okay. Long snapper, bug out of Indiana. Yes. Don't forget about him.
Two Gs.
Lori, that's it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Join us again next week for a brand new Draft Prospect Review podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.